My name is actually Autumn Brown, and I'm honored to be here today with you guys. I'm a junior at the University of Arkansas, and I'm presenting my honors research on the estimation of additive and dominant effects of a mutant glutathione S transferase gene on anthocyanin and proanthocyanidin content in muscadine grapes, which are Vitis rotundifolia. I would like to start us off today with a quick introduction into what a muscadine is, because if you're not from the South, you probably haven't heard of one. So muscadines are native to the southeastern United States, where winter temperatures often don't drop below negative 12 degrees Celsius. There, they are most abundant along the coastal plains in the Atlantic Ocean and the Gulf of Mexico. They were actually the first cultivated grape in North America and have been cultivated since the mid-18th century. Muscadines generally come in two colors, black and bronze, and nearly all wild muscadines produce a dark purple, almost black-colored berry. However, bronze berries, which are actually a light green-brown color, are present, but in a much lower amount. And what's particularly important for my research is that black muscadine anthocyanin content can range from as low as 1,000 micrograms per gram to well over 5,000 micrograms per gram. And this is a huge variation. If you're still a little bit confused about what a muscadine is, don't worry. I like to describe them as a spunky southern cousin of your basic bunch grape. So both bunch grapes and muscadines are in the genus Vitis, with bunch grapes being in the subgenus Uvitis. In this subgenus, there are well over 40 species, the most prominent of which, of course, being Vitis vinifera. Muscadines are in the subgenus Muscadinia, and there are only three species. And the only one that is commercially propagated is Vitis rotundifolia, which are the muscadines I'll be talking about today. Another difference is in their ability to form diglucoside anthocyanins. Diglucoside anthocyanins are an extremely unstable form of anthocyanins, and muscadines form them. And this is what causes the problems that occur to muscadines in their wines and juices. They often oxidize and rust and break down, and it's not a good look for them, and muscadines' wine is a difficulty. However, we all know that Vitis vinifera has amazing wine quality and it has stability throughout the years. This is because they form monoglucoside anthocyanins, which are extremely stable forms of this pigment. Another difference is in the total chromosome number, with bunch grapes having 38 and muscadines having 40. We all know that Vitis vinifera is one of the most important horticultural crops in the world and has been bred for hundreds, if not thousands, of years, and is still being bred today to match consumer perceptions. Because of this, most of the bunch grapes you'll find in your local supermarket will have a thin, crispy skin, a neutral but refreshing flavor, and are seedless. Muscadines, however, have a thick, leathery slip skin, 3 to 5 seeds per berry, a foxy, musky aroma and flavor, and a flesh that has been likened to an eyeball, which I would have to agree with, unfortunately. So as I said, Vitis vinifera, one of the most important horticultural crops in the world. And because of that, there is so much research and literature about them. So when we were trying to determine what the gene pathway for color in grapes was, for color in muscadines was, we could easily look at grapes because they're so similar in both genetic pathways and genetic structure. So the candidate gene for color in grapes is the MYB transcription factor, and I'll be coming back to this later. So before I get any farther in my presentation, I want to quickly talk about our mapping populations, because everything I say from this point on that my team did, I did, or we did together is on these two mapping populations. So we have Black Beauty by Nesbitt and Supreme by Nesbitt. And what's important about these two mapping populations is both of the parents were heterozygous dominant black muscadines, meaning they had a copy of both that dominant and recessive allele, which just allowed us to have all three genotypic classes in both of our progenies. Both of our progenies segregated to that expected 3-to-1 ratio of 3 black to 1 one bronze muscadine. So something really cool that my team did is we created the first saturated linkage map of a muscadine. That's actually what you see here. Well, this is actually chromosome 4. And what's important about chromosome 4 is it's where we mapped our color locus to. But that's not where we were expecting. That MYB transcription factor that I talked about earlier is on chromosome 2. And so this is on a completely separate chromosome. But we got relatively lucky with where we mapped our color locus. It was in a relatively small physical interval of only 0.8 megabase pairs. And in those 0.8 megabase pairs, there were only 21 predicted genes. We knew we hit the genetic jackpot, so to speak, when we discovered that VVI-GST4 was one of those 21 predicted genes. This is because GST has a known role in the transportation and sequestration of anthocyanins in other crops, such as maize and petunia. I want to quickly explain two things before I get farther into my presentation. The first is the difference between an anthocyanin and a proanthocyanidin. Both are phenolic compounds and both have excellent nutraceutical potential. They have been shown in studies to reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease and sometimes even cancer. So anthocyanins are phenolic compounds that are pigments, and they're responsible for giving all of our fruits and flowers that beautiful purple, red, or blue color you see. And proanthocyanidins are actually colorless, and they're generally found in the seeds, where anthocyanins are found in the skin. So that's just a difference. The second thing I would like to talk about is what a GST actually is. A GST is simply a transporter, and in a black muscadine, it's a well-oiled machine. It goes over to pick up the anthocyanins that have been produced in the cytoplasm, and it takes them to the vacuole where it drops them off. However, in a bronze muscadine, there's a disconnect somewhere. This disconnect can be happening in two places. The first is that when it goes to the cytoplasm to pick up that anthocyanin, it simply doesn't register it, and it can't pick it up. And so it can't even take it to the vacuole. The second is that the GST picks up the anthocyanin that is made in the cytoplasm, and it takes it over to the vacuole. But the vacuole is like, no way, Jose. I don't want that mutated anthocyanin in me. The end result is the same. The anthocyanins are left to oxidize and rust in the cytoplasm, which is a huge waste of both resources and energy for muscadines. So after we decided that the candidate GST gene was what we were looking for, we then designed a Cas marker. Cas standing for competitive allele-specific primer. We then screened both of our mapping populations, cultivars, and selections. And after that, we came up with this beautiful technicolor graph we have over here. And what's important about this Cas marker is it allowed us to determine the difference between homozygous dominant black muscadines and heterozygous dominant black muscadines, which you're unable to tell just by looking at them. I want to quickly explain what CC, CT, and TT means, because I'll be referring to that as the rest of the presentation. So CC are homozygous dominant, CT is our heterozygous dominant, and TT is our homozygous recessive, or bronze berries. And the reason they're called this is because we were actually able to determine that the cause of the mutated codon is a single point mutation. So in a bronze muscadine, there are two copies of this mutated codon. And that second C changes to a T, as you can see, and that changes the codon from coding for the amino acid proline to the amino acid leucine. And so if you have two copies of that mutated codon, you have a bronze muscadine. However, if you only have one copy, you still have a heterozygous dominant black muscadine. So last thing I have to talk about before I get into my objectives and my methods is the two main types of gene action. You have additive and dominant effects. Dominant is just that. It's an all-or-nothing type of ordeal. If you have one copy of that dominant allele, you have just as much as if you have two. Additive, you're roughly adding half for every extra dominant allele you have. What's important and what I want you guys to remember is that the mutations in that MYB gene, which is the color gene for grapes, has additive behavior. So it has this right here. This is what a typical model would look like. Sorry. So I had three main objectives for my research. The first was to determine if there is a correlation in color, the actual blackness of the berry, and anthocyanin content. The second was to determine if there is an additive effect in anthocyanin content between homozygous and heterozygous black muscadines. And the third was to determine whether that Vitis rotundifolia GST4 gene I talked about actually affects proanthocyanidin content in the berry seeds of both of our mapping populations. So I harvested muscadines from the University of Arkansas Fruit Research Station at Clarksville, and I harvested five muscadines from each plant in a subset of each mapping population. This graph better explains the subset we used. So we took from each genotypic class and each mapping population from 16 plants, five berries from each of those 16 plants. And this subset is what I used to measure total anthocyanin and color. Color was the first thing I measured, and I was using the CR400 colorimeter. I measured the L, A, and B coordinates and then transformed it with this equation into the chroma and hue angle. Then I used Pearson's correlation coefficient to test if there was significant correlation between color and anthocyanin content. Next, total anthocyanins were measured using the pH differential method. I measured absorbance at 510 and 700 nanometers and at pH 1 and pH 4.5. For my data analysis, I used ANOVA SAS 9.4, PROC GLM, and then for my mean separation test, I used Tukey's on a significant difference. So after that, we randomly selected a subset of five samples from each genotypic class and each mapping population. Then we evaluated those for total proanthocyanidins using a DMACC assay. And then again, for my data analysis, I again used a Novosas 9.4. Now on to the results, the most exciting part. So first we have the results for correlation with berry color. Before I talk about the actual results, I want to explain the graphs because I know it's a lot going on. So on this upper right-hand one, on the x-axis you have lightness, then you have hue, then you have chroma. On the y-axis, it's the same each time, total anthocyanins, milligrams per 100 grams. All these red dots represent our Supreme by Nesbitt blackberries, and all the green dots represent our Beauty by Nesbitt blackberries. We only measure blackberries because brown berries weren't what we were measuring. So as you can see from the top two graphs, there is no correlation whatsoever. However, on the chromograph, we have a slight correlation on our Black Beauty by Nesbitt mapping population. However, due to the fact that this correlation was so slight and there was no correlation with any of the others, we don't think that this proves that there is correlation with berry color, simply because that range in anthocyanin content can range from as low as 1,000 to 5,000, and once the berries get so saturated with color, they simply can't become any more black, but their anthocyanin content can continue to rise. So next are the most exciting results, and that is the total anthocyanin results. So again, on the bottom, we have Supreme by Nesbitt and Black Beauty by Nesbitt, which are two mapping populations. On the y-axis, we have total anthocyanins, milligrams per 100 grams. And as you can tell from this graph, this is a dominant gene, which was not what we were expecting at all. Because if you remember, I said earlier that an additive gene is what is the color candidate gene for grapes. So we were expecting an additive effect, but we got a completely dominant effect. There's no statistical difference between the CC and CT in either of our mapping populations. However, there is a big difference in between the mapping populations, with Black Beauty by Nesbitt having a significant higher amount of total anthocyanins. This could be due to a handful of reasons, one of which is that there could be that the Black Beauty by Nesbitt mapping population could have been slightly more ripe, but they really weren't that much of a difference in ripeness, especially not enough to cause this massive difference. So what we think this proves is that there's obviously another gene at work affecting total anthocyanin content. The VBI-GST4 is still the transporter gene, it's just there's another gene at work to determine how much total anthocyanins you actually get. My last results are the total proanthocyanidin. Again, not what we were expecting. We found that VBI or VRUN GST4 gene has no role in the transportation of total proanthocyanidins. But it's science. It doesn't always work out, I guess. But it's still useful because now we know that that is not the gene responsible. So we're just trying to look for what other genes are possible for that. And I actually work with a postdoc, and she found out some really interesting stuff about that. So in conclusion, we have a dominant gene action on our hand. However, there's no statistical difference between CC and CT. But our GST marker is not useless, and it is still predictable for berry color. But further research is definitely needed for what other possible genes affect anthocyanin and proanthocyanidin content. So I'd like to say a big thank you to all these people and the people I got funded by, but most importantly, thank you to all you guys for listening so attentively. And if I have any time, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. We have 2 minutes for questions.
Yes.
So my question is, you worked with a team on this. What exactly did you do out of this project?
Okay. So the question was, I worked with the team on this. What exactly did I do? All these results. So I worked on this the past year. I did all the correlation with berry color. I measured all the berries on my own. Total anthocyanins, I did all of this on my own using the HPLC, the pH differential method. I actually did more that I had to cut out for time. I did individual anthocyanin analysis using the HPLC method. I did all that, and then I did the total proanthocyanidin. I did that all on my own with the seeds, too. So I did all that on my own. But, like, I didn't do everything on my own. To say I picked all those berries in one day on my own would be a lie. I had a lot of help from everyone, but I did do all that on my own.
Any other questions?
Thank you.